Hello, and welcome to the FPS podcast series. This is podcast number 45, Protecting Confidential Commercial Information Using FOIA Exemption 4. My name is Todd Hatherley, and I'm the Director of Programming for Federal Publication Seminars. And we've been a leader in federal government contract training and professional development for the last 60 years. And every year we provide thousands of training of thousands of businesses, federal agencies, and individuals on the legal, regulatory, compliance, and accounting nuances found in the federal regulations through nationwide classroom, online, and in-house sessions. These podcasts are a small sampling of important content you as a contracting professional can expect from attending a program with us. Whether you're in person or online, live or on demand, you cannot find another source with the breadth and depth of experience, knowledge, and content anywhere. So please visit us at fedpubseminars.com for more information. Joining me today is Nathan Castellano. He's a special counsel from the law firm Jenner and Block. Welcome, Nathan. How are you today?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for bringing me on. I'm doing well. Looking forward to this discussion.
Recently, you published a paper on the FOIA Exemption 4 in the briefing papers done by Thomson Reuters. I read through it. Thought this would be about just FOIA itself, but it really gets into a little bit more about the exemption in FOIA 4, Exemption 4 of the FOIA and protecting confidential commercial information. Give us some background on it and why we're talking today.
Yeah, perfect. So FOIA is designed to bring transparency to federal government operations. It works by allowing the public, really any person, to request government records. So the hook to government contracting is that when a company shares information with the federal government, that information becomes a government record that is then subject to FOIA request. And we often think about FOIA in terms of journalists. The statute really doesn't care who the requester is, right? The motives of a journalist are given the same rights and credence as the motives of a market competitor. So if you're a contractor or really any company sharing information, proprietary sensitive information with the government, then that information becomes a government record that is at risk of being caught up in a FOIA request and potentially released to the public. So that's where FOIA Exemption 4 comes into play, and that's why the briefing paper you mentioned is so focused on FOIA Exemption 4. FOIA gives the public this broad right to records, but it also recognizes that properly functioning government has to keep some things confidential. So FOIA doesn't allow, for example, release of sensitive national security information, doesn't allow release of law enforcement records. You can't get, you know, veteran health records through FOIA. For Exemption 4, key point here is you also can't get proprietary, confidential, commercial information. The statute recognizes through Exemption 4 that the government, if it's going to meaningfully work with the commercial sector, it has to be able to keep some of that information confidential. So just to boil it down, the reason companies like government contractors who are sharing sensitive information with the government need to care about FOIA Exemption 4 is that FOIA Exemption 4 is how companies can protect that information from public release.
Excellent. Nathan, bring us up to speed. What's happened? I know there was a case more recently decided in the Supreme Court, 2019, I believe. So where are we at right now with Exemption 4?
Yeah, Exemption 4 is changing rapidly. There's a lot of shakeup on the legal standards that apply, and it really all comes down to this 2019 Supreme Court decision you mentioned, Argus Leader. And to appreciate that one, we just need to back up a little bit. For decades, most Exemption 4 disputes were handled under a steady line of D.C. Circuit precedent, where the main issue in these cases is whether or not the company, the submitter, could show competitive harm. Can the company show that releasing confidential business information would competitively harm the submitter? Right, you'd have detailed legal and factual analysis of this competitive harm question. The thing about that is that FOIA Exemption 4, it's a statutory provision, and it doesn't say anything about competitive harm. So a few years ago, the Exemption 4 case, Argus Leader, gets to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court looks at the statute and holds there is no competitive harm test. It takes a textualist approach to looking at the statute. There is no competitive harm mentioned. And so the rule coming out of Argus Leader is that as long as your commercial information is confidential, in the normal meaning of the term confidential, it must be protected under Exemption 4 without any question of competitive harm. About as simple as you can put it in 2019, but the decision really left a lot of questions unanswered. What is confidential? What exactly does that mean? What do you need? Is it just normally kept confidential by the company? Do you need some assurance of privacy from the agency? A lot of open questions. So coming out of 2019, at a minimum, you just can't assume that everything you used to know about FOIA, you know, if you're a FOIA practitioner, you've previously done some Exemption 4 disputes, you can't assume that everything you knew 5 years ago still stands. If you're getting ready for a FOIA dispute or just to submit sensitive confidential information to the government, you really need to be watching the latest decisions that are coming out of the district courts across the country, dealing with Argus Leader, and trying to think creatively and strategically and just carefully about how to best protect your information, how to satisfy the Argus Leader standard. And there's really three areas where this kind of manifests. First, instead of focusing primarily on this competitive harm question, courts and parties are now more focused on confidentiality more generally. So they're asking practical questions like, how did the company store this information? What did they do to keep it confidential? Who did they share it with and under what terms, right? If you're sharing this information with suppliers, vendors, third parties, did you have NDAs in place? How did you know they wouldn't share the information? And when you handed that information to the government, what reason did you have to think that the government would keep it confidential? Sure, you know, maybe you keep a secret, but once you tell that secret to somebody else, you need some assurance maybe that they won't share it. These are all questions that they weren't entirely foreign to Exemption 4 litigation before, but now they're really taking front stage. The second major issue of contention is what kind of information is commercial. Right? So to be protected under Exemption 4, you need to be commercial and confidential. And there's some division in the circuits over what exactly is commercial. That a division was there before, but after Argus Leader, with all the district courts looking at these issues again, that division's really boiling over and creating another fact-intensive issue that parties have to prepare for. And this, you know, really requires digging into the different cases and the different circuits in a way that you might not have 5-10 years ago. And finally, the other major issue that's coming to the front is whether the FOIA Improvement Act of 2016, which was conveniently not at issue in Argus Leader, might have the practical impact of creating a statutory competitive harm test. Right? The Supreme Court just did not address the FOIA Improvement Act because it didn't apply to that FOIA request. But for most FOIA requests being litigated now, FOIA Improvement Act will apply. And in some jurisdictions, you have courts saying, okay, the Supreme Court said there's no competitive harm test in that case, but the FOIA Improvement Act seems to have arguably codified that standard. And so they're asking parties to prove it or expecting agencies to look into it. So all that is to say, there's a lot of movement in the case law now. And anyone sharing information with the government, certainly anyone gearing up to litigate these issues, really has to be digging into the cases that are coming out, you know, every day across the country.
In your article, you put some guidelines that intend to allow listeners and readers to understand the FOIA Exemption 4 a little bit more. What are those guidelines? Can you kind of go through that for us?
Absolutely. I think there's really four that'll capture it. So the first thing to keep in mind is that the FOIA process really starts at the time that you submit information. It's easy to start thinking about it later on, like when you learn there's been a FOIA request submitted that captures your information when litigation starts. But really, FOIA starts when you submit the information. And the best defensive strategies need to be in place before you submit your information to the government. Identify the individuals, the teams in your companies that are sharing information with agencies. Train them to understand what they need to be doing. How should they be marking information so that any agency official who picks it up can see conspicuously that this is your confidential commercial information and they need to reach out to you before they release it? Train your folks on what kind of conversations they might need to be having with their agency counterparts before hitting send. There's also a lot to be done just in terms of buttoning up and collecting your internal policies and procedures. As I mentioned before, courts now are really focused on the factual question of confidentiality. And to do that, you need to show, what are your confidentiality procedures? What kind of NDAs do you have in place with your suppliers? Are your employees subject to general, non-disclosure commitments, things like that? What sort of access controls do you have on your documents? These can get very fact specific. And the thing is that they're hard to change after the FOIA request comes in. You need to have these policies in place before you submit the information, so later on you can easily show and convince the agency in a court, if it gets to that, that this information was treated confidentially. Second, you should be prepared now for how to respond when you find out eventually that someone has requested your information, right? When you submit information, at that point, a FOIA requester may submit a request that captures, that's broad enough to capture your information. And then the agency will typically reach out and give you an opportunity to explain why that information should be withheld. That's a really short fuse opportunity, very important to convince the agency that they do need to withhold your information, and you don't want to try to prepare for that after the request comes in. You can go ahead and put the groundwork in place now so that you're ready when the request comes in. Go ahead, identify the individuals who are actually going to be responsible for doing the response, train them. Go ahead and put together a document that walks the company through everything they need to do to build out their response. You can go ahead and put template response letters in place that are a starting point that you can fill in when the request comes in. Third, make sure that when that request eventually comes in, you're engaging with the agency as soon as possible. You want to do everything you can to make the agency FOIA officials and the agency counsel's lives as easy as possible. And the most effective way to do that will often be to have already made the investments I discussed in the first two points, right? As soon as the agency comes and says, hey, we got a FOIA request, it captures some of your information, here's 5 days to respond. If you already have all your ducks in a row and you can say, here are confidentiality provisions, here's our letter explaining in detail, factually and legally, why you need to withhold everything, that's going to make it much more likely that the agency agrees with you, believes that withholding the information is supportable and protects your information. And finally, if an agency agrees and does withhold the information that you've asked them to protect, congratulations, take a breather, but you need to be ready to intervene in any litigation if the FOIA requester goes to court. Right? There's an opportunity here for litigation in multiple angles. If the agency withholds your information, the requester can file a suit under FOIA. If the agency releases your information or says they're going to release information, you might need to be the one running into court with what we call a reverse FOIA action to try to enjoin the release. These litigations unfold very quickly, and you need to just be ready to go to court if it's necessary. And part of that is just a practical process of deciding what information is really worth fighting for, because it is a fight on either side.
Excellent. Thank you, Nathan, for that explanation. If someone wants to get a hold of you, how would they do so?
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate that question. The easiest way to get in touch with me is just by email, ncastellano@jenner.com. That's N as in Nathan, CASTELLANO@jenner.com, or you can call me at one of my new phone numbers, 202-637-6302.
All right. Thank you, Nathan. This wraps it up for today. And as always, if you have topics you want us to cover in a podcast, please send me a note at todd@fedpubseminars.com. And until next time, stay safe, keep your distance, and read the FAR. Thank you, Nate.
Thanks, Todd.